Do you want to learn interesting psychological information in an easy, straightforward, and entertaining manner? Then you need to listen to The Shrink Is In, a podcast show produced and hosted by Dr. Howard Gurr. Dr. Gurr is a practicing licensed psychologist for more than 25 years in New York State, and now he is available to you on the internet. Now, here's Dr. Howard Gurr.
Hey, it's Dr. Gurr with another psychological podcast. But before I start today's show, I want to thank Mike Vendetti for doing my voiceover work. And if you want to hire Mike Vendetti to do yours, go to Mike Vendetti, V-E-N-D-E-T-T-I, one word, .voices.com. All right, so today's show is going to be an interview with Dr. Charles and Elizabeth Schmitz, who have been doing research on marriages and what makes a marriage successful. And they've been doing research for 25 years. Of course, in addition, they've been married for 41 years. So without doing their research, they probably have some fantastic information about how to make a marriage successful. But they've been doing research a little bit differently than most other researchers, because most researchers tend to, you know, look at, you know, statistical analyses and questionnaires. And what the Dr. Schmitz did is they interviewed happily married couples, couples who've been married, I think, 30 years or more, and have kind of spoken to people who have an accumulation of 15,000 years of marriage combined. That's a lot of good years. And so let me give you some background on the Drs. Schmitz, so you get an idea of what their history is. So Dr. Charles Schmitz was a faculty member and administrator in higher education for 38 years. He was focusing on counseling psychology and leadership development. He's received 40 local, state, and national awards and honors, published more than 200 articles, manuscripts, books, and scholarly papers, delivered more than 600 public speeches, professional presentations, and workshops throughout the world. He's appeared on radio and television and been quoted frequently in the print media. Now, Dr. Schmitz received his PhD from the University of Missouri-Columbia, and he's currently the Dean of the College of Education and Professor of Counseling and Family Therapy at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Dr. Elizabeth Schmitz was a former chief operating officer for a large organization of more than 22,000 people, and that's students and employees. She's received 25 local, state, and national awards and honors, published more than 85 articles, manuscripts, and books, and delivered more than 400 speeches, workshops, and presentations. And she, too, has been on numerous radio stations, television shows, quoted in the print, and she's currently the president of Successful Marriage Reflections, LLC. And so now, let's meet the Drs. Schmitz. So welcome to the show, Charlie and Liz, and happy to have you here to talk about your research and your new book.
Hey, thanks for having us, Allie.
We're tickled to be here.
Terrific. It's great. So, you know, I did in my intro the fact that you guys have done research for 25 years, but you've done research on marriages very kind of differently than other people, because you've talked to people who were successful at it. And, you know, according to my research here, you have over 15,000 years of successful marriage under your research belt here in terms of your own research, not to mention the fact that you guys have been together for 41 years.
We're going to celebrate number 42 in August.
Yeah, so, you know, to me, you know, the fact is that you're experts already without the research.
If you take passion.
Yeah, that's great. Anyway, so can you tell the audience, you know, in a sense, really, what have you learned in this research?
Well, wow, we've learned a lot of key things from all these folks kind of in and around the world and continents and so forth. We've learned first that understanding what makes love and relationships last is not very difficult. Contrary to what some may think, we found a number of pervasive characteristics that were present in all of these successful marriages, whether we were interviewing people in the USA, in Chile, in Argentina, in China, or France, and other places that we've interviewed, that understanding what makes love and relationships last is simple. But
the trouble is that people are unwilling to do the simple things to make those relationships work, or what we found a lot of times is they simply haven't learned them in the first place. They don't understand the importance of it, and that's why our divorce rate is so high in this country.
Is that because no one taught them in terms of, you know, you learn to be, I guess, a parent and a partner from your own parents?
That's correct. We absolutely believe that from talking to our couples, and they had, many of them had to learn it the hard way. Some of them had good role models. They may not have been their own parents as their role models. It may have been their grandparents or their aunts or their uncles. But over these generations, because remember, we've been doing our research consistently for the last 25 years.
It's about 1982.
So we have couples that have been married from 30 to 60 years in that pool way back 25 years ago. Then we kept doing it, so even our modern folks that have been married for 30 to 60 years, these same things keep reoccurring. And if people could just learn this, and that's when we finally decided we wanted to write the book, because we felt if we could do nothing else to give a gift back to the world, it would be that we'd help people understand how to make relationships work when they get married.
And Harry, there's always one point, and then I want to make a kind of a third thing about that. But the point we always make to people is we were married in the Judeo-Christian tradition, so we got interested in studying that. We suspect this may apply to all sorts of relationships because the focus is on the relationship. And so we want to make that clear. We studied this because we answered a question in 1982. We were getting ready to do a workshop. And so we started to take stock of the couples that we would hang around with when we were undergraduate and graduate students at the University of Missouri.
Right.
And what we discovered in 1982, after we'd been married for about 16 years, that of the 14 couples that would go to football games together, that would take bike rides, that would head down to the Lake of the Ozarks for a weekend of swimming and boating and drinking too much beer from time to time, that we were the only couple of the 14 couples that were still married.
Wow.
And so the question that we ask ourselves is, why? Why do we think that is the case? And so that's really kind of what got us interested. And we concluded something initially. And the conclusion was that being in love is easy, mm-hmm. but making love last takes a lot of hard work.
Right.
The important point is that successful love and relationships are an accumulation of the little things, an accumulation of the little things. The little things matter. And what we discovered along the way when we talked to these people is that many of them had very good role models. Their mom and dad were deeply in love, or the people that lived together for long, long periods of time were deeply in love. Other times, people would say, well, my parents were married for 60 years, but they really didn't like each other very much.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and so you have to work through that. So that's when we developed this notion from paying attention to our friends at the Gallup organization that we've worked with on other things like developing structured interviews and things of this type. The thing that we got interested in was if we wanted to understand something about success, we studied success.
Right.
You don't learn about success by studying failure. And so we had to develop a protocol to be able to determine when we were interviewing these couples that had been married a long time, whether they were actually happy and successful in that relationship. And we think that that's the contribution that we made.
And what we did, Howie, was put into a pool, into a database, and that's why we talk about the 15,000 years. That's how many years of marriage collective wisdom we have of the folks that we considered after our protocol that they met the stringent standards we set up for being not only longevity of marriage, but also happy and successful in their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we learned a lot of things about that. And so, you know, we would get into our interview protocol sometimes, Howie, and they'd go like this. We'd get to question 12, and we'd say, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 high, how would you rate the overall success or happiness of your marriage? And we always make them answer the question at the same time. That's part of the game for some of these questions. And you know, you may have a marriage made in heaven when they both say, at the same time, 10, mm-hmm. 9. So many of them say 11. And we mm-hmm. say, oh, we said 10, honey. No, it's 11, you know. But when you hear, it's like stereo. One says 7, and the other one says 3.
You got a problem, huh?
Then you know.
Yeah.
Probe and go down a path, and the protocol takes us down that path to probe on that, because, and what we usually find out is what you might expect, that their marriage might have been long, but it wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the marriages that we use for the data for our finding the seven secrets and knowing what really makes marriages work, we only use those that responded in 9 or a 10, both at the same time, both collectively and both emphatically. I mean, that there were a lot of other questions involved, but that's a major cutoff point for us, which says, you know what, if we're going to use a model to help people understand what marriage and relationships are all about, we needed to have a standard that was absolutely high, that no one could pass it unless they really understood what they were. And then when we did that, and we took those people and we looked at those couples, we had close to 500 of those couples. That's when the similarities happen. That's when the ahas happen for us to be able to say, huh, this is what makes it work. This is the similarities in all of these couples. These are the models that our new people getting married can follow to learn how to have a successful marriage.
And the language that these successful couples use is remarkably similar. Their physical actions and reactions when they're around each other are remarkably similar, albeit sort of a qualitative orientation in addition to collecting data, because you have to observe these people very carefully. You know, and when we interview them, we try to interview them where they live. We want them to be very comfortable. Mm-hmm. We try to interview them. Sometimes we take them out to dinner, and we try to interview them there if they prefer that. You know, and so forth. But the interesting thing about it, just, you know, observing these people in a room, first thing they do is they sit next to each other, the successful ones. Mm-hmm. Others we had sit across the room opposite of each other. And so that becomes kind of a aha experience. And they touch each other, the successful ones. And they look adoringly at each other. And they pat each other on the back. And they, you know, and their tears, their eyes tear up on certain questions. And, you know, I mean, you just start to record this stuff and say, wow, we just saw that. You know,
you're seeing a real connection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, these are people that truly love each other. And as we get along in our conversation here, we have some questions that we ask them we'd like to tell you about, because the answers are always the same with these successful couples.
Right. It's amazing, you know, because I see couples in my practice, and they're, you know, one of the things I kind of make them do eventually is literally sit next to one another, hold hands during the session.
Oh, yeah.
Because you could see the physical space between people, and it's just, it's like a wall that they've created between themselves.
There's absolutely no question. It's one of the first things we see. And our last question gets at what we really feel and what these couples feel for each other after all these years. The truly wonderful couples that have learned to make this connection with each other, and it's a physical connection, it's an emotional connection, it's a friendship connection. We ask the question, and we always get the same answer. We ask the question of those couples, can you imagine life without your husband or your wife? Mm-hmm. They immediately are silent. Their immediate response is a tear. They cannot fight back the tears.
They start reaching for each other, you know, as you say, touching each other and reaching for each other.
And the reaction is always the same. They have never been faced with that question that they want to deal with it. They avoid the question. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to contemplate it. And the difference is a powerful emotional and physical reaction to that question. Now, granted, they've been talking about their relationship for an hour at least with us. They've been very open. They've gone all the way through it. And then we hit them with this question. And our successful couples, every last one, have the same reaction. We got to the point in foreign countries where we have translators all the time, but we don't need a translator because you can physically see the reaction and you can translate it without even a translator saying what they said.
Mm.
It's recently, that powerful.
We recently were interviewing a couple in Lyon, France that had been married for 58 years. And their granddaughter, who was an exchange student, Barbara is about 23, and her her fiancé, they subsequently got married, who's 25, sat in on the interview because they both speak very fluent English. And at one point in the interview, the granddaughter, Barbara, said to Liz, "Well, you're writing down something, but you don't understand French." And Liz says, "Oh, I understand the answer," you know, because you could just see it. Oh, here goes the, you know, Marie Noel. Her eyes started watering, and Peter's eyes started watering, and they started reaching for each other, and they started, you know, it's just really a phenomenal sort of thing to find, which really sort of leads to, you know, people say, well, what are those seven secrets? Well, that's one of them. We call it in our book the loving touch, but it's this notion that successfully and happily married couples can't keep their hands off each other.
And we talk about it being more of an exclamation point. It's how they talk to each other without verbiage. They don't need the words because they have the touching and the feeling, and they understand each other through that.
And as one of the folks said, and many have said something similar, but I always pick this really good example. He said, if my wife and I walk by each other 100 times a day in the house, we touch each other 100 times a day, that there's probably no more important way of two people who love each other, who admire each other and respect each other, there's no more powerful thing that they can do than to touch each other. Because what they're really saying is, I acknowledge your presence, and I love you so much, I simply must touch you.
Mm, that's great. Yeah, that's one of the things I see missing in many of the couples that I deal with. And obviously, it's one of the secrets that they need to introduce into their marriage to keep it going.
And let's talk about a side point with that, Howie. Mm-hmm. So many of our folks that don't get it, and especially when they first get married, they think the lust and the sex are everything that we're talking about.
Right.
It's really nothing that we're talking about.
Right.
Our couples, our successful couples, when you ask them to rate that is how important has that been in your marriage over these years, it's a 5 as far as importance. Enjoyment quality, enjoyment's great. But the fact
and they
is,
have healthy sex lives for the most part.
But the fact is, it isn't important to making or breaking the relationship. There's so much more that has a higher priority to these couples. But the touching and the acknowledgement that the touching brings is critical.
And touching is what I like to say, habitual. And I think that's why you do it in your practice, because learning to touch, to acknowledge each other, to feel the love that you feel when two 98.6s start touching each other is a very, very important thing. And you can learn how to do that, and it creates so many other positive things in that relationship.
Mm. You know, I don't want to give too much away because I want people to buy your book.
Thank you.
And so I want everyone to know that this and all the other secrets of a successful marriage can be found in Charles and Liz's book called Golden Anniversaries, The 7 Secrets of Successful Marriage, which you can find at any of the big retailers. I know it's out there in Amazon and Borders and Barnes & Noble and probably any of your local bookstores. So I suggest you go out and pick it up and save yourself a lot of money in therapy, because you'll be able to fix your own marriage and make it last a long time.
And in most of the stores, particularly the chains, our distributor called Big River Distribution here in St. Louis tells us that even if they don't have it in the store, it's on the Barnes & Noble, Walden Book, and
.com.
Barnes,
and they can order it by having the title.
And they can order it from the store because it's in their inventory. So.
Right. That's true.
Howie, thank you so much. We love this.
Well, thank you. And I hope my audience around the world, whoever they may be, will definitely profit from listening to you and pick the book up and learn to have a successful marriage.
So
I want to thank you.
Thank you, Howie.
It's been Dr. Gurr, and you can always see more about me, my website at www.drsgurr.com. But in addition, you could see more about Dr. Charles and Elizabeth Schmitz at their website at www.goldenanniversaries.com. Until next time, this has been Dr. Gurr.
You have been listening to The Shrink Is In, and your host has been Dr. Howard Gurr. If you want to learn more about Dr. Gurr, go to his website at www.drsgurr.com.